Good morning. It's good to see you all. I'm Jeff Taylor. I'm the youth pastor here at LBF and love to get to be here with you. You're like, is that good? I don't know. We have some family that own a timeshare in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. And there are times that we get to go down there with them on vacation. And it's fantastic. Because we're with them, we are owners. We are full members of the community. And there's some benefits to being owners in the community. You get discounts on all your food and stuff. And you get full access to the gym and the spa and the sports club. And it's all super fun. We get to do that. And there's even an owners-only party that you get to go to where you are celebrated as full members of the community, and it's fantastic. Now, I guess the way that timeshares work, I'm confused by it all. But we've also gone down there on off weeks where we're not owners, we're not members, and it's a different experience. Now, please hear me, family. I'm not complaining. I'm still willing to go down on non-owner weeks. But it's a different experience. You don't get discounts. You wait in different, typically longer lines. And the most dramatic difference, I think, is when you're down there not as an owner, not as a full member, they give you a bracelet so that on site, they know that they don't have to prioritize you. They know that they don't have to pay such close attention. It's still great, but it's definitely a different experience. Now, Paul is a Jew. And what he's doing is he's writing a letter to the church in Ephesus, which is primarily a Gentile community. Gentile meaning non-Jew, okay? So he's writing to these primarily non-Jews. And what he's doing is he's highlighting what Jesus did to give them full membership, full access to all the things that God has for them, all of the giftings, all of the power and presence of God as full members of his family. Now, we're going to look back at a couple verses we saw last week where Paul reminded them, Jesus came and preached peace to you who were far away, Gentiles, and peace to those who were near, Jews. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Because of what Jesus did, we have full access. It changes the access that we have to our Heavenly Father. It changed the power and the presence of God in what was accessible, not just to the Jewish people, but to us, making it fully accessible for our relationship, our full relationship with God. So what he's about to say when he talks about the benefits of full membership, of what Jesus did, as we read this internally or even externally, feel free, we should go, yes, because this is good stuff. This is great news. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers. Yes. But fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Yes. This is good news. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Sign me up. I want that. I read that and suddenly I am extremely disinterested in coming to a Sunday morning meeting. And when I see that this is available, man, I'm like, Why would I settle for less than this? Why would I just, like, oh, all right, I'm going to come to a building where there's a bunch of other people, and they're going to teach me some stuff, and I'm sure, okay, sounds good, and then walk out and kind of just continue. Man, I look at this, and I'm like, full membership? I mean, a member of the family? Of the house? Not just a member of the club. A member of the holy family of God. So, you are no longer foreigners and strangers. That's good. Fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. A couple weeks ago, my oldest son got married. And I can't look back or I'm going to cry. And so this is Carter and his wife, Courtney. And it's amazing. Courtney is fantastic. We love her so much. And we are so excited that she is now a tailor. Now, when she comes to dinner at our house, she's still going to need to sit at a table in another room. She's not sitting with the real tailors, okay? If she wants to talk to me, that's okay, but she's going to need to go through one of the real tailors in order to get a message to me. This is ridiculous, right? This is silly. And yet, this is the mindset for those of us when we say, I'm a Christian. I go to church. And then, but here are the reasons that I'm not a full member. Here are the reasons that I don't get to sit at the table. Here are the reasons that I need to back up and go, well, if only I could do more of this. Oh, if only I hadn't messed this up. If only I had done this instead of this. And we back away and we forget or we refuse and reject what Jesus did in order to give us full membership in the family. Courtney will be in our will. Courtney is invited to every family function, even if Carter isn't there. Come on, Courtney. Courtney will be in every family picture. She is fully a tailor, and she is being received as a full member of the family. And were there to ever be a time that we saw her backing up, if there were ever a time where she's like, oh, I wasn't born into this family. Oh, I'm not technically a tailor. I'm just sort of by name. It would break our heart. And we would chase her down. And we would be like, what are you doing? Come here. Come here. No. You are fully one of us. And it would break our hearts if we were to see her thinking, believing anything different than that. And if that's the way I feel, if that thought brings me to tears, imagine what it does to your heavenly Father. Imagine what it does to your Creator. Imagine what it does to the one who gave his life for you. When we back away and we go, oh, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. I mean, I'm allowed to visit the resort, but I don't have full access. I have to stay back here. It breaks his heart. And some of you're wrestling with that this morning. You come to church, and it's fine. You realize you're allowed to do this. But when it comes to when we stand up here and we talk about the power and the presence of God and it being available to you, you sit there and you go, oh, well, maybe it's available to Pastor Dan. Well, maybe it's available to Rez and the people on the worship team because, I mean, you know, the stage. And it breaks God's heart when he's like, what are you doing? And if you think that your presence here is what God is really looking for, you're missing it. And you're going to miss out when you put that kind of limitation on the presence of God in your life because he says, you are family. You are a member of this household. You belong here, not just by name, not just in theory. You are part of this because of what Jesus did. And when we reject that, when we start to believe the other stuff, the lies that the enemy wants to tell us that goes, oh yeah, well, you can go to church, but you remember what you looked at online this week? Oh, you can go to church, but remember don't forget you lied to your boss. Hey, yeah, you can go to church and you can, assume the postures and you can fake it. You can try and look like you belong, but if people really knew, and guess what? God really knows. And he's whispering, and for some of you, he's shouting these lies to you. And I say this at Exit 83 all the time. When that happens, we need to tell hell no. We need to say, you know what? I'm not going to sit here and allow you to tell me that I don't belong at the table. I'm not going to let you convince me that because I'm a knucklehead, and any knuckleheads in the room? Everyone raise your hand. So because I'm a knucklehead, I'm not accepted. I don't belong. I can't approach the power and the presence of God. I can't invite or believe that he's going to live in me and through me. I just have to stand back and try and do my best. And I'm going to just work to try and get back to the table. And you never can. And for some, you've been trying really hard just to get back. I want to be accepted. I want to be good enough. I want to get rid of this stuff that is holding me back, and you have bought into the lie. You have bought into the lie that somehow it's about performance. It's about trying your best, and eventually one day, if you're good enough, or if you stop doing this, or if you, well, maybe. What Jesus did when we do that, what we're saying is that what Jesus did on the cross wasn't enough. What we're saying is like, yeah, but my struggle, my lack of faith, my bad decisions overcome what Jesus did on the cross and voids it. And when that happens, it breaks the heart of God. Because he says, you, here, now. And we know that we can draw near to him. But this is the reason that there is so much said about the kind of spiritual warfare that needs to take place. Because it can be really easy to look around and be like, oh, well, I don't have it together like them, or oh, I messed up in this way and I did this and all these things. And all of those things are lies that the enemy is going to use to whisper to you why you don't belong at the table. To whisper to you why you can be associated, but you're never going to be a member. Ephesians 6, 10 to 12, we're told, put on the armor, because he's coming after you. But when you have that armor of God on, you can stand your ground. Yeah! Right? We are told that the battle, we're reminded, the battle isn't against flesh and blood. All the stuff that we want to make it about, oh, if I can just overcome this addiction, oh, if I can just stop doing this, if I can do more of this, then it'll be settled. The battle's not against flesh and blood. It is against the principalities and powers, which are really big words, in the realm that we can't even see because the enemy's coming after you. But we are told in James, right? Resist the devil and he has to what? You tell hell no, and he's like, I'll try again tomorrow. And we tell him again. And he cautions us. Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, he says, look, but the devil can be disguised as an angel of light. He can be disguised in all kinds of things that our culture says, oh, well, it's better to be accepting. Oh, well, this is what you love. And oh, well, it's okay to lie about this if you're in this situation. Oh, well, it's okay to... He can look real popular. And we need to be aware of that as well. And the enemy wants you to believe that because you've screwed up, because you've struggled in your faith, because you're walking kind of this, I'm not sure, and I have questions and all these things, that now you have limited forgiveness, that access to God is, well, if he's in the mood, or as long as you haven't messed up too bad, or now there are these performance requirements. Well, if you want access to God, you have to. And when we think about the promises of God, the enemy wants to whisper back to you, which, by the way, he's been doing ever since the beginning with Adam and Eve. He's going to whisper to you, did God really say, oh, well, And we need to stand in the truth of God. In his letter to the Christians in Colossae, Paul said, "Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand." Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Your real life, who you really are, your true identity is in Christ. Not in the things that the world says, oh, well, you better identify with this. Oh, you better agree with this. Oh, this is what's going to make you who you want to be. This is what's going to happen if you do all the right things. We need to come against it and go, my identity is child of God. And there's nothing that trumps that. Oh, yeah? Well, it could be athlete. But so often we go, oh, it could be, you're right. Oh, it could be. It could be like CEO. Oh, it could be millionaire. It could be most popular kid in school. It could be captain on my team. Our identity is in Christ. And all of us have some spiritual warfare that we need to do to come against the things that want to put our identity with anything else. That anything that would cause us to back away from the table and go, I'd like to, but that in the name of Jesus, we ask for healing, we receive forgiveness, and we proclaim our identity in Christ as child of God. And we stand in that and we rest in that and we receive that in our lives. Ephesians 2:13, "But now you've been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you've been brought near through the blood of Christ." You've been brought near. That's what's offered to you. I love this encounter in the Bible where all the parents bring their kids to Jesus, which, note to parents, bring your kids to Jesus. The parents bring their kids to Jesus, and they're like, bless them. And all the disciples, Jesus' guys, who you'd think would know better, are like, excuse me, hold on. He's got important meetings. He's too important to pay attention. And Jesus goes, whoa, guys, I need to earn their vote. They're the young vote. I need to get in line with their demographic. I need to get them on my side because they can provide all kinds of resources and a place to stay and all the... He looked at these kids and he goes, let them come to me. And it says that he brought them near and he drew them close and he blessed them. He pulls them up on his lap and he whispers in their ear. So if you're wanting to know, how do I know if I'm listening to the world? How do I know if I'm listening to God? What does this look like? You could consider it this way. As Jesus draws you near and he pulls you up on his lap, is what you're hearing something that he would whisper in your ear? If it's not, you come against it in the name of Jesus. You hostily take it over, captive to the authority of Christ. And go, I'm not believing that garbage. Because Jesus is never going to draw you close to whisper in your ear, I'm so disappointed in you. You're such a failure. You've messed up one too many times. Get away from me. That will never be what he whispers in you, in your ear. He will draw you close and he will say, I have life for you. He will say, I will protect you. I will guard you. He will say, I will anoint you with my presence. And anything that is not something that Jesus would whisper in your ear, we need to take it captive and we need to reject it. Because he has life for you and he's inviting you, he's drawing you near. So, you are no longer foreigners and strangers. You're fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Members of his household, the Greek word means immediate family. So you're not just a coworker, you're not even a distant relative. You are in the house. That's what's available to you. In the house, immediate family. One that he knows your name. He knows where you're a knucklehead. He knows where the struggle is, and he's inviting you. He's like, I want you to be near. I don't want you backing away out here going, oh, can I just have... He's saying, you are invited to the table. You are invited into my presence. And I am going to anoint you. I'm going to work in you and through you. Will you receive that? You're no longer foreigners and strangers. You're fellow citizens, members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the church. So here, Paul starts to paint this bigger picture, that in him, you become the holy temple in the Lord, and he's teaching, he's talking, he's giving us a picture of the universal church, of believers coming together that he's bringing together. God is actively fitting each of us together, as well as believers in Mexico and Honduras and Brazil and Borneo and Panama and Thailand. And this is something where, again, I go, I want in on that. I want to be part of how God is fitting all of this together and all that he wants to do in and through this community, this body, this holy temple called the church, which is way better than Christian karaoke in a book report, right? It's way better than going, okay, today I learned something. When we grab onto that and we go, I receive that as truth in my life, I'm going to allow God to live that out in me. Oh, life abundantly is the way God puts it. And that's what we have to look forward to. And what began with the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus as the chief cornerstone, continues with us today. Talk about a lineage. I mean, Courtney becoming a tailor, cool. This? Yes. I want to be part of that. I want to see what God is going to do in and through that. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. Paul changes the metaphor here. Now he starts talking about a specific kind of building. What kind of building? A temple. A holy temple. A building set apart of people. Distinguished by the power and the presence of God. Holiness is God's goal for the corporate body, that we would be set apart, that we would be we would allow him to put us together in such a way that it is a holy temple, that God, actually, his actual presence is here with us. Yes. God, come and do that in us. And in his first letter to the Corinthians, Paul says, we were all baptized by one spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one spirit to drink. So the Holy Spirit is gonna form this and bring this together. It's gonna be his work. It's not us just signing up for the right classes and doing the right things and going through the right motions. We could do that. It's gonna be the Holy Spirit that brings this together and is going to work in it and through it. And here, that is why it's important that you're here. And some of you, you're like, really? Is it? It's important that you're here. It's important that you're in your life group. It's important, junior hires and high schoolers, that you are at and part of Exit 83. And consequently, this place is different when you're not here. because the Holy Spirit wants to move in and through each of us to give gifts as he determines. He wants to anoint us with spiritual gifts to build up this body of Christ, this holy temple. And so he's going to anoint these things, and he's going to say, man, Chris, I have a plan for you. Audrey, I have a purpose for you being here. And as long as you are willing to walk in this, and just, you don't have to try hard. You just allow me to live in and through you. What you say, what you do is going to be part of how I bring this holy temple together. And if you have been believing that your attendance here is what God's really after, I humbly let you know you're missing it. You are settling for something far less than what God is offering. And that's when the lies start to come in. Oh, well, yeah, I mean, I can attend, but they don't know, you know, the issues I have and the struggle with this and that. And we back away. When Jesus says, draw near. I'm drawing you near. I'm calling you to be close. So part of what the Jews and Gentiles wrestled with, part of what we wrestle with, is, all right, so who's in and who's out? How do we decide this? Well, there's quite the scene in Acts chapter 15. I'd encourage you to read the whole part of it, where it says that certain people came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching believers. Here's what they were teaching them. Unless you're circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. So unless you sign up for this class at LBF, unless you're a member here, unless you go to this Bible study, you cannot be saved. Well, Paul and Barnabas heard this, and I think that the translation puts it kind of lightly, where it says, this brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute. They were hot. They went, what are you talking about? You're actually going to determine who's in and who's out by what they can do? By some outward kind of a thing? It is the Holy Spirit that is going to radically revolutionize people's lives as they accept it. As they put their faith in Jesus, like, man, hold on to your hats and glasses because here we go. And God is going to bless it and anoint it, and his power and his presence is readily available. You're invited to the table. Oh, but I'm a knucklehead. Get in line. You are invited as you put your faith in Jesus. You are saved. But they were trying to convince them, and the enemy tries to convince us, unless you do all the Jew stuff, unless you do all the things that the world says would qualify you, you don't get to be saved. Paul also addressed this with the believers in Rome. If you openly declare Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord, who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Yes. This is what we can stand on. This is the truth that God is going, come here. Let me tell you what I think about you. Let me receive you. Let me draw you close. Let me hold you like the world has never been able to hold you. Let me give you an assurance that all the money, position, success could never give you. You're mine. You're a member of my household. So, what is your faith in? And this is where it becomes a decision. This is where it becomes something that we've each got to confront. What is your faith in? What identifies you? Oh, well, my faith is in being good enough, a good enough person. What identifies me is my position at work. What identifies me is my kids. What identifies me is whether I succeed. What identifies me is my GPA. What identifies me is whether I get captain. What identifies me is how often I go to church. And when we start to lean in on that, we start to go, well, those things have to identify me because what Jesus did on the cross wasn't enough. When I put it that way, I'm like, eesh, I don't want to say that, but we do. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So when you start to question, well, am I good enough? Have I done enough? These two words are key. What two words do you think they are? In him. It's not in you. You start to put it on you and you start to say, yeah, Jesus, nice try. You start to put it on you. You start to back away from the table and go, well, I can never, that's too much. How could I ever? But in him? And if anybody goes, what are you doing at the table? You're like, I'm with him. Sweet. In him, you are made whole. In him, you are brought into relationship. In him, you are redeemed. And some of you don't believe that. Some of you have bought into the lie that you've messed up too bad, or you've messed up too many times, or that the addiction is too strong, or that the anger is uncontrollable, and all these things where you keep piling it on you, going, I've got to. And Jesus would say, no, in me, in him, you are enough. From back here, the people standing back here, you go, well, I'm back here because I'm not enough. You're not enough. In him, you're enough. Will you acknowledge that? Will you confess that? Will you take captive all the things that want to push you away from the table and say, no, you can't, you're not, you better keep trying? This place, this gathering, is where the Spirit of God lives. As God brings his church together, as he brings it in unity, as he draws us near, the power and the presence of God is manifested. It's not about being on your own, like, oh, I'll be good enough, and you know, I don't need to engage in all the other group stuff and things like that. I'm good enough. We weren't designed that way. He's going to bring the church together. And back in Ephesians 2:15, he said he made peace between Jew and Gentile by creating in himself one new people from the two groups. So now that the two groups are brought together, now what are they supposed to do? This place should look, and this worldwide body should look like the dwelling place of God. I love the way that Francis Chan put it. He said this, shouldn't the action of a person possessed by the Holy Spirit be as memorable as a person possessed by a demon? Consider that. If a person like manifested what we think demon possession looks like here, you'd probably discuss it at lunch. Shouldn't the power and the presence and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit be just as memorable? Are we willing to embrace that and go, that's what I'm inviting? That's what I want to make myself available for? God, come and have your way. And the good news is you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. So I'm going to say something that my prayer is will disturb you, will cause you to go, I've got to confront this. Because you've been called fellow citizens of God's people and members of his household. So I charge you with this. I don't. God charges you with this. Stop living like you're on the outside looking in. Today, for some of you, is going to be a day of decision. Maybe for the first time. Maybe you wouldn't call yourself a Christian. You came to church because you're trying it out. Everybody needs a little religion in your life. I'm tired of my neighbor inviting me. Whatever it might be. And today is a day where you're going, you know what? Am I going to continue to stand back here and be like, well, it would be nice, but I don't have the power. You don't have the power. In Jesus, you are invited to the table. Some of you, man, you've been a Christian a long time. Not because you're old, but just you're a long time. You've been a Christian a long time, and you kind of just, but your response to things like this, you're still kind of back here and going like, well, I can see the table. I agree with the table. I believe the table exists. It would be nice to be at the table, but you know what? Back here's fine too. And Jesus is going, you belong here. And as you put your faith in Jesus, you can be done going, well, I believe. And you can receive all that he has for you. So would you all stand with me? And prayer ministry team, come on up. Part of the enemy's strategy has been and will always be, just deal with this on your own. You know what? Don't say it out loud. Don't let people know. Or even if it's like some like, oh my gosh, don't go up front. The people are going to see you go up front. They're going to be like, I wonder why she went up front. And garbage. It's all a lie meant to keep you back here. We are invited into community. We are called into this community in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And some of you, very for sure, you need to come up and pray with somebody, be prayed over, confess, surrender, whatever it is that would address, okay, God, I want to come to the table. I'm going to receive your promise that in you I'm redeemed, I'm forgiven, I'm made whole. And I'm done trying like all my methods, and I'm done accepting all the things that the world around me says, this is what will make you count. So I'm going to receive whatever you have for me. So Holy Spirit, right now, we come to you. And I pray your anointing, I pray that you would stir it up in us in a way that we cannot ignore. That we would accept all that you have done. Jesus, we declare you are enough. Jesus, we declare that you made the way. And so now, Holy Spirit, we are asking you to stir this up in us and bring us to a place where we are willing to step into this faith, that we're willing to step up to the table to allow you to live in and through us. And this morning, if it's your first time and you're like, I want to give my life to Jesus, there's not some special prayer that you have to say, there's not any secret handshake or any of the stuff, it's making yourself available to Jesus and just very honestly going, here I am, I'm sorry God for the ways that I've lived against you, forgive me, and I choose to believe that what Jesus did on the cross, his death and resurrection, was enough. And I choose to be a member of God's family and to live in his household. And if you're here this morning and there are things that all morning, things have been popping up in your head of ways that, or things in your life that have kept you back from the table, will you confess those things? And there is power in putting action to our intentions. That's why we're told to confess your sins to each other. It's putting action to an intention. It's not just, oh, I'm gonna try harder. So come to the front. Let someone pray with you or pray over you and respond. And for those of you, you're like, oh, I'm kind of landlocked in here in this row. It's gonna be hard to get out. I guarantee the row will be thrilled to death to let you out. So just make your way, during these next songs, make your way out of the rows. If we need more prayer people, ministry leaders and staff, get ready. If we need more prayer people, we'll come up to the front. But let's respond to what God is doing, what God's saying. Now let's get to the table.